I like that song. I got that off the radio station that I listen to that is also linked under the resources section on our webpage that I listen to at work. It's the gospel station. It's an internet radio station. And they play a lot of good Southern gospel songs. Today is July 7th, 2010. And I don't know, if you got online and you read the Pastor's Ponder post or whatever we decided to call it, my theme and how this I was led to this message is just the theme of the day is tired, tired, tired. We are all tired. Busy lives, busy doing things, taking care of things, moving, you know, getting settled in new homes and working here at the church, working during the week. And it just seems to be the theme. And I think it's really important that we remember that it's time, that it's how important it is for us to take care of our bodies. The Lord gave us only, you know, this only one. You know, we only get one go around. And we don't always do good with our bodies. We don't always treat them well. A lot of times we beat them up. But a few things are kind of essential. And obviously that's a good night's sleep. I myself like 8 hours. Other people can live on less. Eating a well-balanced diet, which obviously if you're busy and you're running around a lot, you eat a lot of fast food. That's not always necessary to do. Not always easy to do. But it's important that we at least try and that we remember that we should spend time with the Lord daily. That is one of the key essential things to help us remain focused. But when the battle is raging and the pace is blistering or the task is boring, which we all have a lot of those, it's easy to allow more our morale and our vision to fade. One surefire way to avoid defeat and to allow a fresh surge of determination, or I'm sorry, is to allow a fresh surge of determination to continue to move you. Optimism, encouragement, and faithfulness feed on high morale. And the ability to push on, and possibly alone, in a lot of cases, requires a clear vision. In order for goals to be reached, there needs to be a stirring from within. We have to have that desire from within us to reach those goals that may seem out of focus or that may seem far enough out of our reach that we're just never going to get there. That takes determination within us. A spark that lights the fire of hope that tells us to continue when our minds say and when our minds are ready to convince us that it's no use, that we're just never going to get there. Might as well sit down and give up. It's called motivation. We need to hold on to that. Remember what it's all about. Oh, we have the ability to be transformed through the inspiration of a few minutes with the one who is the master at building morale and clearing vision. We have the ability to be transformed and be inspired by the one person that can take care of that in an instant, building back our morale, giving us a clear vision. It's what's needed in charge of a renewal. And God knows that. He understands that there comes a time that we just need to sit down and recharge, refocus. Receive that extra boost of energy. Receive that extra boost to our morale. Receive that extra boost of determination that will get us to the top of the mountain. The message tonight is on recharging, and I shortened it. It should be recharging your batteries. But recharging and what that entails and how that fits into the Word of God. But the Lord's people have been in need of renewal since the beginning of time, or in need of recharging since the beginning of time. The Lord understands that we get wore out, that our morale fades, that our vision fades, And that there are times that we just need that inspiration from him to continue and do, and to refocus on his work. For Abraham, it was the place of renewal was at Bethel. In Genesis 12, verse 8, we read, "And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel, and pitched the tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built it an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord." Abraham found his place of rest, pitched his tent, built an altar to God, and said, "Hey, Lord, we need to talk." He found that quiet spot between nations where he could sit down one-on-one and receive that inspiration from the Lord that he was needing at the time. For Moses and the Israelites, it was the tabernacle in the wilderness where God's glory rested. If you ever study Exodus, it talks about the tabernacle. Maybe one of these days we'll have a teaching on it. I was blessed to be witness to a teaching on the tabernacle at our old church, and it is a very powerful study. There's a lot of symbolism in the tabernacle, and just what it is amazing in itself. But there was a lot of detail that went into that. But Moses and the people that were there were allowed to go in or to be a part of or even to be close to the place where God rested. It was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And just to be able to see and know that that was the presence of the Lord was very easy for them to turn to it and receive renewal and strength. Exodus 33, 9 and 10 read, "And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man at his tent door." So they stood within the presence of the Lord to be able to receive that renewal and to remain focused. You know, after there were some that died in the wilderness without ever making it to the promised land. They walked for 40 years. So for some of those that were already up in age, there were a lot that didn't make it. And I can imagine they got pretty wore down. They got pretty discouraged, and I'm sure their morale was pretty low. And I would even bet that a lot of times their mind told them to give up. But because they were able to see the glory of the Lord, that was able to inspire them and renew them and continue to push them, to give them the determination that they needed to continue on. Obviously, the best places for us to receive that is in the Lord's house or in the Lord's word, whichever you choose, whichever path you seek. But spending time with God is very essential to that. It's the one surefire way. Other than your own stubbornness, that's about the quickest way to get your determination to increase. Other than the fact of you just realizing the tricks the devil's trying to use on you, which generally, most of the time, those are given to you from the Lord anyway. You know, God shows you how the devil's trying to trick you. And then he gives you that strength and determination to stand up to the devil and say, "No, I'm not going to fall for it. I'm going to seek the Lord in his ways." And a lot of times we fail. A lot of times we stumble. We may not always get there as we should, but we still seek him. And once you're seeking God, the devil can't stand. Once he knows that you're strong for the Lord and you're strong in the Lord, he can't stand. He'll continue to fight you. He never gives up. He always thinks he's going to win. But the word says that he that is within you is greater than he that is within the world. Amen. So God is in you. He's stronger than the devil. Now, for the 12... Everybody know who the 12 was? The apostles, the men that walked with Jesus? Okay. For them, it was just meeting with Jesus. The times that they were able to sit at his feet and to receive the instructions and the parables and the stories and to witness the healings and all those things, that was a renewal to their spirit. It was just being in the presence. They were truly blessed. Truly blessed. But all of us need such times and places of renewal. When our morale and our vision are reignited and our batteries are recharged, that's when the Spirit of God can do his work. His masterful work of motivation. Talk about a kick in the pants. Get a Holy Spirit kick in the pants and see how fast you get stuff done. Not even necessarily how fast. See what kind of things you can get accomplished that you never thought you could. But it's then that we receive a new burst of energy and we're back on our feet. We're ready for the victory. We're ready to face a new day. We're renewed. We're refreshed. We've spent time with the Lord, spent time in his word, received the strength that we needed in order to be motivated once again to continue on, determined to finish, determined to receive the victory. Now, there's also one thing we need to understand, that in order for us to receive these types of this type of recharging to our morale and our vision, we have to change our routine. Right? Genesis 2:1 says, Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all a host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he made, and he rested. On the seventh day, from all of his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Really? God rested. God. Okay, come on now. Omni. Omnipresent. Omnipotent. Anybody understand what omni is? Omni is all. He is everything. All. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get wore out. He doesn't lose faith. He doesn't get hungry. You know, he doesn't say, wait, I got to go to the bathroom. God doesn't do all of that. He doesn't need to do any of that. He's omnipresent. Okay? So really, God deliberately stopped what he was doing, seen his work, and rested. How many in this room do that? Not a one of us. Okay, the kids, maybe. But certainly, at some point when you're like, I just can't go anymore, yeah, then you sit down. You know? But how often, unless you're a smoker, which none of us in this room are, you know, the smokers take the smoke breaks, but they're still not really resting. Right? Very rarely do we take a rest. He rested. Was he done with his work? Did he have nothing else to do? Completely done? Was he exhausted? No. Omnipotency never gets tired. Omniscience has no mental limitations. And I have printed these extra because I wanted to go in a little deeper on the omni issue with the Lord. And I apologize because I didn't get to study this today. There are attributes of the Lord that are brought up in Scripture that describe him perfectly. There is no reason for him to take a rest. There is no reason for him to sit there and reorganize his thoughts and say, okay, I just created the earth and, you know, created the world in 7 days. Now what else is there to do? That's not the way God works. God is the beginning to the end. He knows all, travels in time, back and forward, can do it all in a blink of an eye, the drop of a hat. He doesn't have to get out his Lincoln Logs and his Legos and, you know, and build. It's just there. It's just done. No mental limitations. He could have kept going. He had no reason to stop. He doesn't get tired. He's omnipresent, whatever. Omnipresent. Omnipotent. He's omni everything. Omni is all. That's the definition of omni. I looked that up. It's all. He's everything. So does he need to stop? Does he need to rest? Does he need to eat? Does he need to sleep? Does he need to go to the restroom? Does he need to take a shower? Does he need to fix his hair? No! Put on makeup? Okay, sorry, I'm not going to get into the God is a woman thing. We're not even going to go there. Okay? God doesn't need to do all that stuff. Unfortunately, we're not so lucky. But he spent an entire day resting. And then he went a step further by blessing and sanctifying it. He made that day, the Lord's day, a priority. A priority period of rest. Now, let's break this down. How many of us rest on Sunday, the Lord's day? How many of us rest one day a week, regardless of the day of the week? Amber kind of does. I know my sister doesn't. She doesn't ever get any rest. Bless you. And Aaron's putting his head down, so that gives his... I'm just as guilty. There's only I could say half a day. Because usually Monday evenings after work, I take a break from the Word. I take a break from the church issues. I take a break from life, basically, and I rest. Not always. You get bored when you rest. That's funny. God made it a priority period of rest time. If it's good enough for God, what makes it not good enough for us? Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." God rested, so should we. If we rested, we might be able to receive the word into our hearts if the Lord's trying to speak to us. What, Aaron? I don't know. You'd have to ask the Lord what he did when he rests. I don't know if that means we can still do swimming and shopping and all that. I am not sure. But you have to remember, and I didn't look up the definition for rest. Maybe we should start there. Maybe you should look up that definition and see what that entails. I usually veg on the couch and watch TV. That's my rest. But, you know, I don't do that very often. So even Christ found time to be alone and rest. Once again, good enough for the Lord should be good enough for us. In Luke chapter 9, verse 18, the word says, "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, To whom say the people that I am?" He went off alone praying. This doesn't really tell me that he rested, but he did go off and pray. And we know that there were times that he would go off. Through reading the word, we have found that he would go off and pray. He did that in the garden a lot. It's important for us to change our routine. It's important for us to recharge our battery. It's important for us to shake loose and get a fresh taste of life, to do something different, to glorify the Lord in a way that we've never done before. We never know what blessings await us if we're always busy with life, if we're always trying to take care of things, if we're always hustling and bustling around. We may not even be able to see what the Lord has in store for us. We might miss it. Could pass it right by. God knows everything. He knows what's in our heart. He knows all that goes on around us. He's omnipresent. He didn't need to rest, but we certainly do. And I think if for no other reason the Lord blessed one day a week so that we may observe it, so that we would receive the rest that he knows that we need, that we may recharge our batteries, that we may spend time in the Lord. I mean, usually the Lord's Day, what do? We go to church. You know, that's a period of rest in itself, as long as you don't get distracted and can open your mind and your heart. You're going to receive rest there if you carry it on throughout your day. I mean, does it say that it was a 24-hour period? No. It says a day. The word says one day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. So did God rest for 1,000 years? We don't know. But he rested. And I know that when we rest, not sleep, but rest. Sleep is different. When we rest, we have the ability to refocus, rethink things, look at things differently. A lot of times, have you ever been confronted with a situation that you just couldn't figure out the solution to? And sometimes you're just required to walk away from it and come back, and then you see it. You find that a lot when you drop stuff. You're looking all around, you can't find it, you walk away, you come back, oh, there it is. You know, that's a simple example. But we've all seen examples of that in our own lives. I know we all have. And it's important to take that a step further and include that in our spiritual walk with the Lord, so that we won't be weak and run down and susceptible to the attacks of the devil, susceptible to his discouragement, to where we just sit down and give up. We know we're called to do a mighty work for the Lord. So sometimes you just have to give yourself that fresh taste of life and receive what the Lord has in store for us. Just two more points for you tonight. The last piece of scripture I have for you is Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. It's important to not let your spirit dry up. We cannot deliver the goods if our heart is heavier than the load. If your heart is so heavy and burdened down with issues, and just so weak and so tired, you can't deliver the message or the blessings that the Lord has in mind for you to deliver to those around you. I encourage you to change your routine, to find your peace, to find your rest, and to receive that recharging from the Spirit and from the Lord that we all need. Times are getting tougher. You can see it in the world. You can see it in your own lives. It's not easy. And the best thing we can do is walk with the Lord daily. It's essential. We have to receive that guidance and direction from God and allow him to guide our paths and our hearts. And just remember that no matter what, he's with us always. He's everywhere with all of us. Good thing he never takes a break from us. He took a break from creating the world, but it never in the scripture says that he takes a break from us. Quite the contrary. Actually, the word says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So that means he's there all the time. He might have rested from creation, but from us he doesn't. And his mercies are renewed daily, and we are truly blessed to walk with him. Recharge your system. Recharge your batteries. Get the rest you need. Change your routine. Draw closer unto the Lord. And allow him to strengthen and encourage you. Allow him to boost your morale and to clear your vision and strengthen you. Amen. Does anybody have anything to add or any questions? Aaron, do you have something? Amen. He has a way of helping us get through things. And just for those that are listening that couldn't hear what Aaron said. He's thankful for the recharging that the Lord gives him daily, the strength that he gives daily to help him get through the day's tasks. And he is loving, and he does take care of us, and it is by his strength that we're able to do the things that he allows us to do, and praise him for it. Amen. Alrighty, well, if that's it and all hearts and minds are clear, we can stand for dismissal.